Hi guys, welcome to the Reading Under the Covers podcast with me, Suzanne, and
Francesca.
And today we are gonna let you get to know us a little bit better, find out our deepest and darkest secrets. I hope you're prepared, Francesca.
Well, I don't know about deepest and darkest secrets, because no. I will not be sharing those today, but...
No, come back in 10 episodes times. That will be the deepest and darkest secrets episode.
You will for find me, those it... actually as you're listening through the episodes. Those are the little tidbits that I drop.
Yeah. The thing you don't know is that my deepest and darkest secrets are like kind of boring. So you might already know them. But no. So we're basically going to talk a little bit about, I guess, our romance reading history and kind of general likes. I was going to say dislikes, but we don't really talk about that. You'll get to know that in...
In the episodes, that's what I'm saying.
We've already recorded, or in the episodes in the future. But basically, yeah. Like, about what makes us tick when it comes to romance books. Yeah, it'll be good. So it'll be fun to see if I can guess Francesca's answers as well. We've got, like, a few questions. So, Francesca, first of all, tell me your romance origin story. When was the first time you picked up a romance novel, and if you can remember kind of what book was it, and did you like it, right? And do you think you would still like it now? Sorry, that was three questions in one.
I really wish that I had an answer like that. You know, like, I love when people have a particular book that's the first one they picked up. I don't remember what was my first one. So, and I'm not counting Jane Austen, because it's a classic, so I'm not counting that. But once I graduated from reading that, and I really went straight for like thrillers and urban fantasy, so even if they had a little bit of romance in them, I still don't count those either. Probably proper romance is I started reading Harlequin Presents books, so I have no idea what I picked up.
Yeah,
because I would get like a monthly subscription, and this was paperbacks, and I would get a monthly subscription. It was like maybe 5 books a month, and I would like plow through those like 1 book a day, and then I was like, okay, I need more. And then I would just donate them to the library. So I have no idea what they were. Would they stand the test of time? Probably not.
No.
Highly doubt.
No.
Highly doubt.
So if you're in the UK like me, that's like the equivalent of Mills and Boone, isn't it? Like the Harlequin Presents. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember I was so excited because I was subscribed when they first launched, or I mean, maybe they were re-promoting it. I don't know. But I think they were launching it. The Blaze line, which was their erotic stuff. And I was like, ooh, this is exciting.
In the UK, they had a red spine. I think they must have been the same books, but they were called like Mills and Boone, and they had like this red spot.
So that was my origin story, and I remember during that time I was thinking that, so Anne Rice also writes under a different pen name, and there's a story of like a Beauty and the Beast story, and it's supposed to be erotic, and so it was around that time, and I was like, oh my god, this is so exciting, and I picked it up. Horrible decision, because it is not a romance. And of course, me, I bought the whole trilogy.
Ooh.
But then after that, I do remember continuing with urban fantasy. I went to paranormal romance after that, but I don't remember what was my first. Maybe Lara Adrian.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Lara Adrian. Possibly.
Space vampires.
Yeah, so either that or, yeah, I don't remember 100%, but for sure was paranormal romance. So that is my, you know, mix of firsts.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
So, again, I didn't start reading romance books. Mm-hmm. And I did kind of, because it was fantasy, like straight up fantasy that was, and classics is what I started off reading. And then I segued into urban fantasy, and like you, I'm not going to count them, even if they had romance in them.
Yeah.
As kind of my first ones. But I think that some of my first romance books were, and they're still my favourites now, so yes, I do still like them, was Immortals After Dark, Lisa Claypass's Wallflower series. And the third one, which actually I don't really like anymore, is Sherilyn Kenyon, the Dark Hunter series.
Yeah.
Actually, to be fair, some of the first books in that series aren't so bad, but I started disliking them quite a while ago
too
now.
Too much trauma.
Oh my gosh, don't get me started. It's fucking ridiculous. Every hero has to be tortured in like these really sadistic ways. She clearly hates men. I mean, the way that she treats some of her... There isn't a single hero that hasn't had something really, truly horrific happen to him. To at some point, I'm like, is this a romance or is this torture porn that I'm reading? Like, it's just got too much for me and I just stopped... Like, I stopped reading. If that world had that many traumatized males, had that many horrific experiences, it would have just fallen apart. Like, no. Anyway, but it was one of the first. And like I said, they started off where I enjoyed them. And I would probably still like the first few. So, yeah. So I started off reading A Hunger Like No Other, The Wallflower series by Lisa Claypass, Sherilyn Kenyon, I can't remember which one. I think it was, there was a dragon shifter in it though. I can't remember the name of the book itself. And then what was the other series? Black Dagger Brotherhood, I think. But I think Black Dagger Brotherhood might have come slightly later. But those were, because I remember I picked up, I had the paperbacks because it was before like Kindles were a thing. And I was in holiday, I think, in Lanzarote, like, with this A Hunger Like No Other. And you've seen the cover for A Hunger Like No Other.
Yes.
And I think, and I was just like, oh my God, I need more of this. And then whilst I was on holiday, do you know, you go on holiday and sometimes they have, like, bookshelves of, like, books that the people stay in the hotel can just pick up and, like, read, because they're probably stuff that people had left behind. Wow. Let me tell you what was there, which I picked up. Only a Joanna Lindsay. Yeah. I think it was Silver Angel. I can't be 100% sure, but it's about somebody who goes into a harem, kind of falls in love with the guy. And I loved it at the time, but I'm pretty sure, well, with any Joanna Lindsay book, if you read it again, you'll be like, oh, mama.
But isn't that part of like the charm of reading those kind of books though? Like, you know, it's not gonna, like, you're not reading it for how appropriate it is, you know?
No, but this was at a time where forced seduction, aka rape,
was popular.
Was a popular thing. It had, to be fair, it had started, like, newer books didn't really have it, but it was still seen as okay, you know. Yeah, so like I started reading some really, really great books straight from the beginning. I must have read some duds as I was exploring the genre, but I can't really remember what they are. But those are the ones that I remember reading first. And apart from, you know, Sherilyn Kenyon, who I did follow for a long time after that, I still love all of them. Some of them I just love more and more as the time goes on. As well.
Yeah.
Like, even Joanna Lindsay, I've read quite a few of her books now. I appreciate them for what they are and what they started, even if some of it's quite like makes you, ooh. But they're like the foundation on which the genre was built and has developed over. And I think painting over that is a mistake. Yeah. So,
for sure. I mean, the evolution has to be there. So you can't expect that. Those classics, and I would consider Joanna Lindsay's books to be like one of the classics. Yeah. And I haven't read a Joanna Lindsay, but it is on my list of things that I want to read for that reason. Like, I know it's not going to be, maybe it's not even going to get rated that high, but I can appreciate it for what it is and what it gave to the genre. Because without going through that evolution, we wouldn't be here today and we wouldn't have the romance we have today.
Yeah. She was the first sci-fi romance I read. She's got a really strange sci-fi series.
Is that the one that you were trying to get me to read?
Yeah, probably. Lysenter, I think it's called. Yeah, it's very strange. It's like a historical
in space.
There was
one that I remember you were trying to get
me
to read.
That was something else.
Dara Joy.
Dara Joy, yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, never did.
Love that book. I just love it so much. It's one of those ones where people were time traveling or going off in spaceships, like from the modern day to whatever. And oh, love it. I still think you should read it. It's insane.
You know what, not we insane should do, we should do way... a podcast episode on it.
It's not insane in the way like Forced Seduction and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they wrote that.
Right.
Actually, some of it is, I can't believe they wrote that, but not for like...
not for the bad stuff, just for like outrageous stuff.
Just for how outrageous it is. I just love it. It's just insane. But I love it because there's loads of insane books like that in the past, yeah, because they were just exploring.
Yeah.
Exploring, and it was just amazing. And
which
I can't believe
fun.
You haven't read it. Okay. Night of a Trillion Stars. Night of a Trillion Stars is what it's called.
Yes.
Oh gosh, you should read that, guys. If you haven't read A Night of a Trillion Stars by Dara Joy, and it's night with a K, then you really need to. It's insane. It's so
maybe
funny.
Maybe we should do like once in a while pick up one of these like classics and read it together and do an episode on it.
If you ever do decide today's the day I'm going to read a Joanna Lindsay book, let me know, because there are some that are harder to read than others, like especially like her older titles. Like she's got like a Western series, which probably still doesn't, is still a bit like ooh, but it's not quite as bad.
You'll have to give us like an author guide kind of thing and like give us levels of this is going to be your entry level. Levels of ooh, here's your entry level ooh, and then go down the deep end.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to really rake my memory. It's been years since I've read all them, but she obviously left quite the impression, because I think I read her before I like read Lisa Claypass. So I was obviously, and it was a historical. Mm-hmm. Probably the first historical, so it got me looking it up what to read next. And I picked Lisa Claypass, and thank fuck for that.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's funny because I don't think that I went straight for Lisa Claypass. I don't remember where I started with historical, but yeah, I don't think I did. Like most of the really popular or the ones where I really loved the series were not my first. Like even Black Dagger Brotherhood, I read that way later. Immortals After Dark, I read that way later. Like probably Immortals After Dark, I was finishing reading that around the time we started the blog.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, because like I remember Annie was pestering me to read the series.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I was always reading something else. Because like what I used to read, how my reading has changed. Okay, here's another question that is not on the schedule. But has your reading changed since we started the blog? Like, did you read any different before than now?
Oh, I mean, if we're talking about from 13 years ago to now,
right,
I read a lot less because I have a lot less time than I did in my, oh gosh, how old was I? Early 20s, mid 20s than I do now. And obviously, if I'm reading an advanced copy, I'm reading to review. And that's different to just read it to just read it, I think. Not that I don't pay attention if I'm not reviewing it. But it's like, okay, so what am I going to talk about with this book to give people a taste of it without telling them what's actually happened? So I think, and then I read with the view of, we like to do recommendations lists based on different things. So then I'm reading as in, okay, so what tropes or micro tropes or whatever are in this book that I like that means I can put it on that type of list. I suppose it's kind of more analytical. It's more than do I like it, it's do I think other people will like it, what does this contain, which is kind of metadata about this book that will be useful for to me in like the future. So I suppose in that way, in terms of what I'm reading, I still don't read what's popular. I still just read what I want to read, so I wouldn't say it's influenced what books I read, just how I read them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I go through the same process with like collecting metadata. I would say the biggest difference that I have experienced in my reading, you know, beyond the fact that I read more contemporary now because it's like always
That's what comes out the most.
We keep up with, up more with like new releases, and it comes out, you know, it's in your face and you see a lot of it and you're like, oh, that sounds good. But I would say the biggest difference is the way I was a series reader before. So I would find book one in a series. If I liked it, I would read through that whole series. And if I liked the author enough, I would read through the whole backlist.
I still do that.
And then I would move on. And I don't do that anymore.
Oh, I still do that. I remember
the last time I binged a series.
Yeah.
Well, no, I probably do know. The last time I binged a series was the Experiment in Terror series.
Oh, my gosh. By
Karina Hale years ago.
I remember that as well. It's a long time ago. No, I still do that.
Yeah.
It's just that it doesn't anymore. I just don't tend to find those books as often as I used to. But I still attempt to do that anyway with the amount of time I have. But the thing is, for me, it means I don't have to make a choice. It's like, I found this author, I found this series. Mm-hmm. All I need to do is get the next book. I don't have to think, what am I going to read next? Because I know it's going to be the next book in this series. And I love that feeling of not having to make a choice. You just take in the next one.
Yeah, plus I think it makes it for a really good reading experience because everything is fresh in your mind. So like as you're going through the books, you're excited, you pick up on the little details, whereas now I don't pick up on the little details because I don't remember the little details.
No, because you haven't read it. Yeah, and you don't reread either, at least not very often. So whereas I do quite often. Okay, this is an interesting question. If you could be a heroine in a romance novel, who would be the author? And I guess the author would probably dictate the genre, but if it doesn't, because they do multiple genres, tell me what genre. Mm-hmm. What trope has to be in that novel? So tell me.
You go first. I got to think
about it. Okay. I'm going to say, who haven't I already spoken about to make this just not me saying the clay path or Cresley Cole every time? Well, I was going to say Elena Andrews because, you know, she's my best ever author in the whole world. But technically she does urban fantasy, not romance.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the answer would be Elena Andrews. So, but no, I'm going to go. Who am I going to go? I was expecting you to answer so that I could think of
Okay, the question. So I don't know if this is like cheating because it's technically not romance, but there's enough romance. I would say Janine Frost.
Oh yeah.
Because I think there's enough romance that I would consider it, you know?
Because that series and that plot wouldn't work if the romance wasn't in it.
Yeah. So no,
it
not
would
at
be
all.
A
it
very
wouldn't.
Yeah.
Dull. Yeah. But I think it would probably be Janine Frost only because like there's got to be action and murder and like all kinds of things in the story anyway with a heavy dose of romance. So I think that balancing all those out, she would be the right author. Now, as far as tropes, I love a good second chance. I don't know how, you know, I feel like she could probably work that in somewhere.
So would it be an urban fantasy?
It would be an urban fantasy. Urban fantasy. There would be vampires.
Yeah, okay.
Would
your hero
vampires.
Be a vampire?
Vampires? No.
Your hero wouldn't be. Yeah, but it's whatever creature does she write? Apart from ghouls.
She's going to have to write a shifter.
Okay.
Has she written a shifter? Of course. She's going to have to throw in a shifter because I'm more of a furry than fangy.
Yeah, person. I'm the same. I'm trying to think if she's written a shifter. I don't think she has.
I don't think she has, but she can do it.
Yeah.
She's done all kinds of paranormal things. So if she hasn't done it, she can do it. I mean, definitely there's going to be vamps in the world.
You could have a love triangle with a vamp and a shifter and then ultimately pick the shifter. I mean, I hate a love triangle, but...
But I mean, it's my story, so I would be enjoying it while that's happening. So, you know, that could work. I mean, that's kind of like the Sookie Stackhouse love triangle.
Oh, I used to love that series.
And me too.
First four or five books in it were excellent.
I think that would kind of be a good vibe for the story I'm putting together would be the Sookie Stackhouse with more action and like more violence.
So lots of details of you sunbathing and doing housework and with intense bursts of action. in between.
None of that part of Sookie, and not Sookie personality wise. But yeah, we go a little lots bit more Jane Frost, but lots of Eric.
You need an Eric character, and I guess you would end up with Sam. If we're talking Sookie's Backhouse.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so, but I mean, I did not like Sam, but it would be a shifter, just not Sam.
In the end, I didn't really like any of the hero options in the Sookie's Backhouse.
As the series went on, for sure, it got more.
Because I always liked Sam. He was like that nice guy.
Yeah, but, he's too nice guy for me.
Eric with no memory is who.
Oh, Eric with no memory is perfect.
Yeah, book four, everyone. Perfect. I think.
Book yeah, four. I think so.
The best book in the entire series.
100%, 100%. And I hated Bill the whole time. So.
Yeah, I wasn't that. He was weak, I think. Yeah. I think Bill's weak.
Yeah. So, that would be my ideal. What about you?
I'm gonna go for Nalini Singh, I think. If I can't have Alona Andrews, I'm going to have Nalini Singh. So, and it's going to be, I really like the vampires in Guild Hunter series. But obviously, I absolutely adore the shifters in my Changeling series. Not as fussed about the angels, but I mean, there's obviously angel characters of hers I like as well. So it would be Nalini Singh, vampire hero, I think, from her Guild Hunter series, because I just find them really interesting. And what? Fated Mates is my favourite one. She kind of does Fated Mates in that series, but I love Fated Mates. So I think I would have to have that trope in there. I think I'd have to. I was thinking of Dimitri when I was thinking of that, but even though Dimitri's not my favourite one in there, but yeah, her vampires are really interesting, and like Fated Mates, Nalini Singh's amazing. Yes. Nalini, if you're listening, really you can just write me into one of your books, please. Well, I've just told you my requirements.
We told you what the book has to be.
We've written it for you. We expect royalties.
Loosely. All right. So what's your favorite romance subgenre? And which one haven't you read a lot of?
Favorite is such a tough call. Three-way tie between historical, paranormal, and sci-fi. At the moment, I'm in a real historical bent. So today, the answer is historical, but if you catch me on any other day, it's likely to be either paranormal or sci-fi. Yeah.
What haven't I read enough of?
I mean, I don't read much contemporary, but I feel I've read enough of it. I'm not that fast. Maybe this new genre, not new genre, but this new wave is probably the more appropriate word, of romantic fantasy, because I have read romanticy. I hate that word. I just hate that portmanteau of it.
The word is just marketing, basically.
Yeah. So all books that now classify themselves as romanticy, part of me is that I just hate that word and I just haven't picked any of them up. But I do like romantic fantasy, like Grace Draven, Elizabeth Vaughan. Really enjoy their books and other authors. So I just need to maybe get over the romanticy ick and try and read some of those this new wave of them that's come out. C.L. Wilson, another one. I noticed they're re-releasing their covers for her Tyrone Souls series.
Yeah, that was a good book.
Yeah.
So I would say for me, top, and it's kind of like you too, it fluctuates between paranormal romance and historical romance. This past week I read three historical romances, but I would say paranormal is probably my favorite. It's kind of the root of what I like. If I am really honest, what I like is the urban fantasy with a romantic, heavy romantic element.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, a good paranormal romance that is not fluffy paranormal romance is probably my go-to. Although I enjoy the fluffy as well, but my favorite would be the grittier, darker side of paranormal romance. And yeah, historical romance. I would say what I read, what I haven't read enough of, is steampunk romance and romantic suspense.
Yeah. Steampunk is fun. Romantic suspense, I can take or leave, which, a bit like contemporary, I'm just like, meh.
Yeah.
I don't have any actual genuine interest in reading it, whereas the other ones I do. But yeah, steampunk is interesting because it's like a separate genre as well. So you've got to find the ones which are like romantic steampunk.
Right. Well, and the thing, the funny part of like a steampunk romance is it, in a lot of them, not necessarily all of them because they don't have to be paranormal, but a lot of them are paranormal, and obviously part of that steampunk element is historical setting or similar to historical setting.
Yeah, like Victorian.
So it's almost like, it's almost like it should be perfect for us because it's blending the paranormal romance with the historical romance, which is what we like to read. So I don't know if we just haven't read more because it's not... like, it's not published as much, obviously.
Yeah.
There's some of them, but it's not, you know, the mainstays of the
genre. So Beck McMaster is a big one. And then Mel Jean Brooks, who, what's she called now?
Mila Vane.
Mila Vane,
romance as Mila Vane,
Yeah, so Mel Jean Brooks. They're really spicy, actually, that steampunk series that she did. I love it.
Yeah.
Especially the first book. That's really good. And then Beck McMaster, Kiss of Steel, one of my favorite ever books. That's a weird vampire as well.
Yeah, that's vampires too. As far as like non-paranormal, I read Anne Renwick. So that is just steampunk without the the paranormal element. But yeah, and then obviously you know that I love Delilah Dawson. So that's steampunk paranormal. So
yeah. That's a strange
theory. We need to read more of that.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that's coming out, but happy to try and make it popular again. Steampunk's such an interesting concept. Like,
it's fun.
Especially because I love that it's mixed with paranormal as well. I think that's really cool. Okay, so let's narrow this down to three. Who are some auto-bi romance authors?
Okay, I will give you authors that I haven't talked about already so that there's something different. Larissa Ayone, which is paranormal romance. Yeah. Tessa Dare, which is historical romance.
Damn it.
And...
I didn't say that.
And let's see. Vivian Lorette, which is also...
Oh, for fuck's sake. Fine. those are excellent choices. Those are really good. I will also try to pick authors who I haven't spoken about yet as well. So Elizabeth Hoyt, before you steal another amazing historical romance author, is definitely one. I guess Ruby Dixon is also, Ruby Dixon is definitely another one because, you know, I need me some alien loving. There's both loads and also I'm just like, oh, I've already spoken about that person.
I know.
Because, you know, I just want to say Elona Andrews.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. Who else I have, but it's like just in one series of her books that I absolutely love, and that's Laura Ann Donner and her New Species series. I love that series really hard. Nothing's come out in it in what feels like ages. I mean, it is crazy. Oh, but I love it so much. It's like a paranormal sci-fi, so modern day. But basically, these labs are creating these human-animal hybrids. Mm-hmm. And they're called New Species. And basically, they're just like superhumans with like whatever particular animal they were minced with, like has some of their capabilities. They all lived in labs and were horribly treated, but they've become free and basically live on like the equivalent of a reservation and have their own powers and stuff, and it's all about them like falling in love, and there's like fated mates elements to it. And so I just love it. And they're super alpha. And I just laugh it up. It's so old school, but...
I feel like you just described the Breathe series by Laura Lee.
It is, but it's not as raunchy.
Well, it's not as raunchy. The raunchy part of that series was only the first few books.
Oh, like, okay.
As you go through, probably maybe book four is, well, book three, which is Elizabeth's Wolf. Already that one wasn't as much.
Oh, okay.
And then by book four and five, they're more tame. Okay. I'm actually reading the latest one right now in that series, Dane's Mark. So
definitely a lot less raunchy. They're always a bit too
especially
much.
Especially the first one was like, oh my God, what is happening here?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I mean, you need to read the first couple only because like it explains what you were just saying because it's the same thing, you know, it's literally the same thing. But once you like understand that part, the rest is just Fated Mates, and it does have like that military aspect, which I don't know if the Lauren Donner also has that.
But what I love about that series is that these guys have been brought up like completely away from human society, so they have that like innocence about them where they don't understand quite about, they've been through so much but they don't quite understand about deception, and they always say what they're thinking even though it's not like the thing that you should do. And do you know that kind of like innocent but not at the same time, and kind of innocent and sheltered, yet actually they've had been through some horrific things, but they just say like funny things because they don't understand that that actually, you know, that's impolite, or that's not really something you should say out loud, or like and then they just like dancing, so they just dance. They've got this nightclub where they don't, they can't they don't drink, but they just dance. And I just, it's just,
that's
they're
cute.
So like big and manly and out super duper alpha, but so fucking adorable at the same time. And I just eat that stuff up. That is my like favorite type of hero.
Nice.
I think we've spoken about this in one of our Extra Bite episodes. I mean, about kind of me loving that. But I just love it. It's like, I don't know if it's a trope, and if it's a trope, I don't know what it's called. Because they're suit like alpha, they're alpha as fuck, but they just don't understand societal rules. So they end up saying these really funny and really innocent, heartfelt things because they don't know actually you don't say those things out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cute.
Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. So that's a really long, really specific auto-buy for that series. I don't mind her other series. But the New Species series by Laura and Donna, I just, now I want to go out and reread them right now. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're also absolutely bonkers, but they are amazing.
Nice.
Have I convinced you to give a try? I don't think you would like it, if I'm honest. But
no.
No, I think it's too strange for you. But maybe you liked The Breathe, so.
I mean, I read all The Breathe.
Yeah, so maybe you would like them.
I read The Breathe before I read J.R. Ward, so
I've
stuck through and like read them back to back to back to back.
I think I've read the first book and was a bit like, wow,
yeah, the first
I
one
I can't really remember
but,
it.
So the funny thing is I probably read other stuff by Laura Lee before I read The Breeze. I don't remember now, so I might have started with her romantic suspense and then tried The Breeze. It's entirely possible that that would have been the order, and if that's the case, then you know, I kind of would have said, well, I already know that I like the author, and she does weird things. So I can't remember the name. There's a series, I think it's called Men of August, and it's like these siblings, and they just supposedly, because of their family trauma, they have to share the woman that they're going to marry. And like they just all have to, you know, have this thing. And like the weird thing is like when, you know, it may be fine in the first book, but in the second book, in the third book, like they're all the ones are already with their happily ever after. And like this still has to happen. Just like slightly weird. So
maybe
I might
that's
have been
series,
prepared
was,
for it.
I was asking about a series where like brothers marry one wife. And I was certain it wasn't Laura Lee, but maybe it is. I still don't know what book it is. They all live in a mountain.
Look up the Men of August.
Or small town.
Yeah, they're like in a small, like on a farm or something.
Like, because it's obviously spicy in the fact that it's four people involved or whatever in a relationship, but actually it's kind of nice and sweet. When it actually comes down to it, it's kind of lovely, but weird.
So it's probably not this one because the relationship is just the main couple. It's just
they
have to share. So
in this
one,
they're like equally involved, and they all get like at the end they get married in the ceremony. Like all of them, obviously not
Maya Banks.
Is it Maya Banks? Oh my god,
Maya Banks. I think Coulter's woman.
Oh, it's ringing so many bells. I'm so excited. I went to bed the other night thinking about what the fuck is this series.
I think it might be Coulter's Woman by Maya Banks because it's three brothers.
Yes.
And it's a mountain town.
Yes. Because I've read it. I've actually registered it. Aww. That is the coast looking. Oh my gosh.
Mystery has been solved.
Oh, it was bugging me so hard. It's sweet as in like it's a harmonious, it's not a triad, mm-hmm. There's four of them, but they have sex and whatever, but it's also like they all just want to take care of her and like they all love her and obviously love each other as like brothers because they're like blood brothers. It's nothing like kinky in that weird incesty way. They just, you know,
yeah,
want to share a woman. But no, okay, thank you so much, Francesca. That was really annoying me about what book it was.
What misconception about romance you would like to lay to rest?
I really hate the term like mummy porn and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. Like, I feel like sometimes, and this goes was a problem like before what I'm about to say, but like, I feel like the launch of Book Talk and people talking about spicy books, which is fine, has kind of reinvigorated that impression that they're just about sex. And don't get me wrong, there's a section of romance books where that is what it's about and that is fine, but that's not the entire genre. Like a good romance book, there will be great sex, but the great sex comes from having that emotional and kind of fulfilling connection with, I was gonna say with the hero, but hero, heroine, like with the partner of the romance, or even with the two or three other partners that might be in this romance. It's not just it's not porn, it's just not just a tool to get off, which degrades women, which is usually what porn does. It's like, it's more than that. Like, a romance isn't complete until everyone's happy. It's not until everyone's got off. It's till everyone's happy and, like, some crisis has been resolved in, like, a meaningful way. I don't know. And people thinking it's just sex. I mean, it's important because sex in general is an important part of a romantic relationship. But, yeah, I think 50 Shades first brought it up. And then Book Talk, the way they can sometimes talk about books. And it's normally like the really extreme books of the genre. I just think is not representative of what romance books are actually about. And I will now come off of my soapbox.
It goes on. No, yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that I would have said as well. Mm. And I think it just goes to the intention of why people are picking up a book and reading it, right? So some people are probably, I mean, I guarantee you that there's the people that are picking up a romance book, even the ones that are not necessarily erotic or marketed as an erotic book. Mm. And they're probably just in it like, okay, so when are they going to get it on? And then they finally do and it's like, hee hee. So yeah, I think that there's definitely a section of readers that's what they're looking for. And they're not realizing that it also puts down the genre and it puts down the authors that are writing it. Because I think there's a fine line between wanting to feel empowered because you're comfortable with your sexuality and where it kind of like derails the whole conversation of the genre and the, you know, more serious things that romance books can do. Because romance can teach you about so many things, so many different life experiences of other people.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes just focusing so much on the sexual aspect, it devalues all the other things that romance can do. So I completely agree. And you're right, there is definitely a rise of that with book talk. And we saw the rise of that with 50 Shades of Grey. The great thing, I think, with book talk is even though it has seen a rise of that, it's also exposed romance books to people that would have never picked up a romance book.
Yeah. And 50 Shades did the same thing.
It did. It did. I begrudgingly...
Yeah, I mean, because I don't personally like, I think 50 Shades is an absolutely terrible book. And there are so many great authors who write BDSM and like authors who are in that lifestyle. So write about it really authentically.
Yeah.
And it's about more than sex, right? BDSM is about control and feeling safe enough to lose it. And I don't really think E.L. James had the skill to...
No.
It's more than just tying someone to a bed, you know? Yeah. Like, there's a huge mental aspect, isn't there, to BDSM.
Yeah.
And I'm not in the lifestyle or anything. I learned this from reading books from authors who are in that lifestyle and have done an amazing job of explaining what it's all about and what it gives to the dominant and the submissive. I don't just want to bag on 50 Shades, but... You're right, it's like a gateway, isn't it? Like things like 50 Shades and like book talk and stuff.
Yeah. I mean they have the bad things like you pointed out, but I feel like it does open up to a whole new audience, which is what I appreciate about book talk and what it's done, is that it's opened up a whole new batch of readers that were not readers before. I think that they do serve a purpose. But my misconception is kind of in the same lane, but it's not about the sexual part. And it's that I think that there's a feeling with people that have been readers or they read more literary fiction that romance, it's all fluff. There's no substance. You already know how it's going to end. So there's nothing intriguing. It's not interesting. It's not going to keep your attention. So all of these things are like, it's so easy to write because like, it's formulaic, especially because it relies on tropes. So like all of these things, I think they're still there. We're still fighting that fight. And I think that's probably a fight that maybe is heavier on authors because they're often looked down upon because they write romance versus writing something else. But also
romance,
readers, you know?
The genre that sells more than any other genre.
Exactly.
That's across publishing. Exactly. And without it, the publishing industry would probably collapse.
Right, exactly. Like all these other books that you love to read about would not be published if there was no romance to pay the bills.
Yeah, precisely. And
so, that would be mine.
Argument as well, because every genre is formulaic. If you read in a, like, thrillers, come on.
100%.
Thrillers.
Yeah.
Formulaic, like procedurals. I mean, that is the very definition of a formulaic book, is it?
And even with a lot of fantasy, it's, you know, you're making up a world, but there's so many things.
There's tropes in every single genre. Yeah. Romance just uses them to market, basically.
Yeah. Which, like, I mean, maybe that just talks to the fact that they are just much better at selling.
Yeah, precisely.
they know how to get the books in the hands of their readers, that's for sure.
And don't get me wrong, there are some really dumb romance books. And some of those dumb ones I love too, but
100%.
But just like there's some dumb books in every single genre out there, or some duds. I'm not saying every romance book is like a transcendent experience or anything, but a book is there to entertain you, and they're entertaining, and a lot of them transcend that too. Like, they're about the romance, but they're about other things too. And they're about that journey you go on. We all know how it's going to end. We all know how life ends. It doesn't mean to say we just sit down and wait to die. Like, we know a romance book ends with a happily ever after. It doesn't mean to say the journey's not interesting and, like, worth reading. So,
yeah,
I completely get that. Now, so we're going to finish off with, tell me a couple of non-bookish things about you. Anything of your choice.
Okay.
other skills that you have, other things that you enjoy.
Okay. So one of the things I enjoy the most is, or a hobby of mine, is planning. If you guys go on our YouTube channel, there's a ton of plan with me videos. Yeah. I probably have moved a little bit away of that much. I just don't have the time.
Honestly,
it's not that I don't like it. It's just I don't have the time for that. But I'm still a planner. Like, I still have my Hobonichi that I use. I write everything down. I still love that. I love to, like, still throw in a couple of stickers and some washi tape on it. So, you know, that's still there. And I have, as of late, I've become obsessed with Notion. So there's a database for everything.
Yes, there is. I don't understand Notion. I just let Francesca send me the links and I try and use it as best as I can.
I'm obsessed with that. And I think it just comes from the fact that I like to have some structure, but at the same time, I like to rebel when there is structure, but I need it. So, yeah, so that's I also like to cook, but I don't bake. Oh. Not a baker.
No, I love baking. You are definitely like a very organized person, and you like to make things pretty, I think, because everything you design is always amazing. So you've definitely got some artistic skills there, which you don't talk about enough.
Thank you. Yeah, so probably doing graphics, learning about like web design and things like that.
So Under the Covers book blog website, and like most of the graphics there are designed by Francesca. So
I don't draw them. I'm not a drawer.
No, you but design
I can,
it.
Like, I can buy a pretty vector image and then I can like put it together.
Yeah. Which sounds, you're dumbing down like how hard it is to make that all coherent and look seamless and nice, but simple at the same time. Like,
true.
She's got mad skills, everyone.
Boy, thank you. What about you?
So, things about me which don't relate to books. I love video games too much, some would say. So if Baldur's Gate 3 came out last year, I have now played through that game 5 times. It came out in September. Each playthrough is about 100 hours. That's how much. Okay. I love it real hard. And that's just the latest one I've become obsessed with. If you're into video games, I love BioWare, so I love Mass Effect and Dragon Age. I will book time off work when Dreadwolf comes out, hopefully at some point later this year, next year. Sorry, I'll go on to another subject, but like video games.
Yeah, but wait, before you move away from video games, you have to talk about, and I don't know the name of the character, but you sent me the picture the other day and you're like, this is the reason why I love sci-fi romance or alien heroes. So you have to talk about it.
Okay. So Mass Effect, there's an alien called Garrus Vakarian. I can't remember the years these video games came out, but Mass Effect was quite a groundbreaking game in the fact that you could romance a character, and it's a sci-fi game. And from the second game, you can romance Garrus if you're a female protagonist. So of course I did. I can't really describe him. Just look at Mass Effect Garrus and you'll see a picture of him come up, and he is clearly an alien. And oh my gosh, and the voice acting in it, which is, I gotta say, like at least half of the appeal is the voice. Like, it's just amazing. And it made me realize that I love aliens from
And then from there, she went straight to like deep diving into sci-fi romance. Oh my gosh.
Yes. I've replayed Mass Effect so many times and I still romance Garrus nearly every time because I love him so much. And I know he's not real, everybody. But yeah, it definitely, like, I was definitely open to aliens as romance partners through video games. So even in video games, I love the ones with romance in them.
Yeah. If you had to combine aliens from books and video games, would you say he's still like your number one?
Oh yeah. Garrus Vakarian all the way. I mean, oh my gosh, I can't even explain. I saved the galaxy with that alien. Okay. And I saved it several times with him at this point. Yeah. I know it's really sad, but yeah. Garrus is my man.
I love it.
My video game boyfriend is Gareth Vicarian. Yeah. There's everyone going out there going, what is she talking about? Apart from like one or two people who were like, yes. Yeah. So that's one thing. Video games, love them hard and have for a very long time. And also I'm a single mum, which is why I have no time. Despite still managed to fit in about 500 hours of Baldur's Gate during nap time usually. I adopted my daughter about a year ago. So yeah, that's another very thing nice. About me. Why I'm always so tired.
And she cooks. She does amazing like baking. She's always doing like these delicious looking things. And I'm like, oh my God, you need to come to my house.
Oh, I love baking. I can cook as well, I suppose, but that's not as fun. I always do everyone's birthday cake. So the last two I've done, it's not actually a cake, but they wanted this. So I did like a homemade lemon meringue pie. I made a Battenberg. Like I love baking. I get excited for Christmas because I love Christmas, but also because I'm like, woohoo, I can just bake the entire month and make lots of different delicious things. When I come visit you next, I'll make you babysit my girly and I'll bake. I'll have a rest in the kitchen and like bake.
This is what you call resting.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, I have had a new appreciation for single parent romance books since becoming one. Yeah. Thinking, when is this man going to come along in my life?
You have to put yourself in the situations that those heroines did, and like if you're looking at a Kristen Ashley book, that would be a little dangerous. So
yeah, I'd love a Kristen Ashley hero. I would brain them very quickly, I think. But I haven't read any of her newer books, so I don't know if they've changed, become more modern, because I don't want that. I like the old ones where I'd like really strange, insane romance over the top books, I think is what I'm concluding from this. I like books with like a hint of the absurd. Like I just love it.
And see, like the funny thing is I can do a hero like that in paranormal, because most of the heroes I like in paranormal are like that. But once you cross into contemporary, I would kill you. Situation will be a little different.
There is something about a Kristen Ashley written hero that even for a paranormal romance, it's insane. Like even if they were
so overbearing and just...
I know.
They would be dead within the first five pages.
I mean, I agree, but also might not be a very long lasting relationship.
Right. But it'll be a quick book.
Yeah. Oh, just break and enter my house. Like,
oh no.
Oh, I've forgotten the name of the book now.
Mystery Man?
Mystery Man, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, Mystery Man.
Oh, that whole series is insane and I love it. Mystery Man, like, do you know what the stupidest thing is?
I started reading that and I was like, what is happening?
I didn't realize how insane that was until you pointed it out to me.
I couldn't tell.
I had read so many Kristen Ashley books at that point that it just seemed normal.
I had asked you like, give me one that I can like start reading Kristen Ashley, and it was like the first scene and I'm like, Suzanne, what is happening?
And I was like, oh yeah, that is kind of weird, isn't it?
Strange man breaks into woman's house and has sex with her. Yeah, that's kind of weird. And then she's totally fine with that.
She's fine with it. Because I started reading her Rock Chick series first, I think. And then I read that whole series out of order. And I think I read Mystery Man last. And by that point, I mean, I was just like, yeah, of course. Of course. This is a fine beginning to romance novel. And can I just say, she had met him earlier on in that day and was perfectly willing. There's no sexual assault at all.
Oh yeah, not at all. Like, it's just
strange.
There's no forced entry. There's not, you know, there's, it's almost like a standing date with a stranger that just comes into your house to have sex with you.
Yeah.
Regularly. Like, it's a regular thing, not a one-off.
Yeah, it's like every Wednesday or something that he does it. And they literally never talk to each other. They've been doing it for months and hadn't even exchanged names, I don't think.
So, I mean, you can recognize that it's a little disturbing. I did not realize that that was a problem. I'm like, okay, well, something is just... I went along with it. I read the book. That's fine. But it's just, you know, some flags start going up somewhere.
Oh, gosh. It's so funny. It just makes me laugh now that I didn't even... It was just... I'd overloaded on Kristen Ashley. And all this behavior is just like, yeah, that's just what heroes do. That's fine. Oh, dear. I say I don't read much contemporary, but Kristen Ashley, I haven't read her newer stuff because I'm afraid that she's gone all modern. And I really love the insanity of her, like, older books.
There was one that just came out, so you can try it out.
Yeah, but I'm afraid that it will be more normal. And I don't want normal from Kristen Ashley. I want mega insaneness.
So, I mean, we've rambled on, but I think that you guys got to really get plenty of information here about our reading life and what we like and what we don't like and what we've read and how we got here.
Yeah, probably more information than you wanted to know. But if there's anything that you take from this, is that you need to read the New Species series by Laura and Donna and Kristen Ashley's Mystery Man.
If you guys read Mystery Man, you have to message us and tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Like, put the book down after that scene and, like, tell us.
How do you feel right now?
Yes, please.
How is that making you feel?
Really uncomfortable.
Do you still want to continue anyway?
I can tell you, from somebody that felt a little disturbed, I continued. And it is a good book. So if that gives you any hope.
It's a good book, but it's like, it's still just mad all the way through, but it's just
100%.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's fun. Like, you know, once in a while you're in the mood for that. Like,
if you want to be completely divorced from reality, but in like a contemporary setting, and you just want something ridiculous.
And fun.
Yeah. And I don't mean this in an insulting way to Kristen Ashley. I've read those books so many times. I love them. But,
Good times.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, guys, hopefully you'll tune in to our next episode. We won't be chatting anymore about us, and we'll be bringing you more book recommendations, reading tips, some information. Join us on the blog. That's where you can find all of our recommendations, our content, our lists. You can subscribe to the newsletter. It'll be in your inbox every weekend. And tune into the next episode. The blog is at underthecoversbookblog.com. You can also find me on Instagram at utcbookblog.
And don't forget about our community, where you will also get extra episodes from us, which I obviously know is a huge entitlement, but that's not all you'll get from the community. There's loads of extra, like, recommendations and chats and kind of like monthly book club meetings that we do as well. So come and join up on our community. And then the stuff that Francesca said about the blog, plus you can find me on Instagram at Tales of Suzanne. So thank you very much for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.